Hey guys, Newsprint Commando, host Ed Moore here. We have our penultimate Aerosel coverage for this season, Elf Lord number 6, on sale August of 1986. Teal Productions or News P Commando on Twitter is a way to get in touch. Teal Productions has Facebook pages, page and Blue Sky page. I don't know what they call it on Blue Sky. IamIndieMan@gmail.com is the email address, and comicbooknoise.com/TNC. Those are the letters Tango November Charlie, if I am not enunciating clearly enough for you. Now, all 6 of these black and white issues, this first volume of Elf Lord, were reprinted a year later in 1987 by Aerosel, all together in a trade. The cover we're looking at here is full color. It's got Hawk and Windblade on it. Windblade is holding the sphere of power. Behind them is the witch Nendo, who hasn't appeared since the second issue, holding on to either side of the panel border, looking maniacally at the two of them. The witch is behind, the two elves are in foreground, and Windblade is looking over and up. I don't know, I turned away from the mic there. Over his shoulder and up at Nendo, who towers over them about twice their height. Inside cover is another Dear Readers from Gordon Derry, just letting us know again what's going to be going on. I'm not going to read that. I essentially read the same thing last episode, and I don't want to bore you guys by constantly reading to you. I know that kind of puts me to sleep. Farewell Greenhaven is the title of this story. Finally, this is the 6th episode of the story, and none of them have had a title but the last chapter. Kind of weird. Windblade, I'm sorry the others turned on you. Just because you may be a wizard, that's no reason to hate you as Pure Breeze and probably Falcon, it looks like, are talking to Windblade. Hawk is talking to Brolo. Hawk, old buddy, you don't have to go, says Brolo. Yes, I do, as he comes up to Pure Breeze. I'll miss you most of all, Sword Sister. Please understand I must accompany Windblade to seek his destiny as a wizard. And here I am, after just having said that, reading to you guys. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. So they're saying their goodbyes. Hawk and Windblade are going. Actually, Hawk is going. He's going on a vision quest to find out more about these powers that he has gotten from the wizard Ephrion. Windblade, Hawk is going with him to accompany. He feels that he should go with him, leaving Pure Breeze, Falcon, Brolo, Sparrow, all the other elves there while they go on a quest. That quest is going to be the topic of the next volume of the book. So it's starting here. So they head off halfway through the woods. They run into an elf named Bran, who has been seemingly turned into some kind of tree or wood sprite or something like that. Bran will show up in the second volume. They come up to the wizard Ephron's house here, and they find Ephron laying beheaded on the floor, and there is just enough juice in him to talk. Windbag, you've returned too late. Wicked Dorian is dead, and I am dead. Now there is no one to stop her. And in walking into the room that Windblade and Hawk are in from another room in Ephrion's house is Nendo, being pulled through the door because she is so big by a small elf attendant with that weird ass spirit familiar creature or whatever it's going to turn out to be on Nendo's shoulder. So we have a lot of humor in this issue. The Windblade and this familiar throw raspberries back and forth to each other. Nendo is struggling to get back through the door, telling her elf attendants to pull her through the door. We see that the eaves of the door are bending and buckling as they're pulling this great bulk through it. Hawk, she has the moonstone. We must get it from her before. And then finally, she pops through into the other room, holding both the power sphere and the power staff. Windblade runs up and gets a quick kick from her. Meanwhile, the familiar charges at Windblade, but before anybody can do anything, Nendo takes the power scepter and does something to the ball on the end of it, and there's a great big boom that knocks everybody around. After that, she loses her balance and falls backwards onto her back, smooshing one of her elven attendants that gets caught underneath her. As she is down, Windblade and Hawk make like they're going to pounce on her, but Nendo, extends the power scepter and says freeze, and the spell freezes them both where they are in whatever position they're in. She chuckles, gets the other elves to help her up, and we see the smushed elf into the ground here that she fell on. Maybe the scepter of power can fix him up. And actually what it does is it inflates the poor little elf like a balloon, and he starts floating away until Nendo can grab him and tie a rope to him and tie the rope to her, like to her belt or something, to keep him from floating away. Nendo and her other two elf attendants here grab up Hawk and Windblade. They put them both in a cage suspended from the ceiling, and then they start a stew because Nendo is going to eat Hawk so that all of the magical power that Hawk has will then become Nendo's, which is an old folklore that if you eat, physically consume your enemy, the power that is theirs will become yours. You will consume their power and be able to use it. So that's what Nendo is going to do. She finally gets her attendants to get Windblade down from the cage that's suspended, throw him in the stew, and it's almost like there's other living things in there that grab him and pull him on into the stew, and they put a lid on it. Meanwhile, Windblade has gotten an idea and says, hey, Blubberhead, one of your demons has candy. And Nendo says, what? Candy? Where? Gimme, gimme. And with his foot, Windblade points there and points to the spirit familiar, which Nendo immediately jumps on, tries to grab a hold of, smashing and crushing her elven attendants, knocking the big cage off the wall. Windblade falls to the floor, grabs up his two swords, and starts hacking at all of these other creatures now that are in the cave where Nendo lives and is doing her foul magic and everything. One of these creatures is that spirit familiar thing that's always on Nendo's shoulder, but the others are just formless kind of demons and creatures, and you know they don't necessarily look like anything in particular. We have a full page panel here, page 18 of Hawk. Dual sword wielding, fighty. And then Nendo gets upset, and there's an image here of Nendo standing there holding one of the elves, like the balloon that it has turned into, using her power scepter to inflate her other two attendants, turning them into big floaty, balloony-like things also. After that, Nendo yells enough at Hawk. Now has come the time to call upon the full power of the scepter. Hawk, stop her, says Windblade, who is still in the cauldron where he was being cooked to be eaten. Hawk throws the sword, pins the hand holding the scepter of Nendo against the wall, causing the scepter to fall, crash to the floor, and break the power stone, shatter it, that's on the end of it, that is the source of the power of the scepter. Nendo, no, I've lost control. And then all these other creatures and demons and whatever in a cave said, you've disturbed our feast, witch, but we see that there is plenty of flesh here for all. And they all attack her and her three elven balloon attendants here, allowing Hawk and Windblade to rush out naked because everything had been stripped from them. But the final panel is Hawk and Windblade standing on a bluff overlooking emptiness, with Hawk saying, Greenhaven and all its troubles are behind us now, Windblade. A new road awaits us, the road to our destiny. And Windblade responds, somehow I just know it will be full of wonders. And they're both fully clothed in all of their normal gear and garb and everything like that. So I don't know. This must be sometime later when they've had a chance to go to a town and re-outfit or something. Next is a full page. That was a full page panel there of them overlooking from standing on a bluff overlooking empty nothing, you know, whatever's down there. Next page is a full page montage of panels. It looks like from the Dragon Ring book that recently started up. Rather dark and cloudy and kind of indistinct, a little difficult to tell images and whatnot because of the nature of what they've done here. I don't know. It's just a little hard to discern. Then we have a secondary story here called Death Caller. This is scripted by Gordon Darry with pencils, inks, and letters by Dave Cooper. It involves the... are they brothers? I'm not sure, but they're two dwarves named Thorgrim and Sigurd. We're at the border of Elfheim, where the dwarves butt up against the land of the trolls, and the nastiest of the trolls is the Red Fist clan. So the two dwarven brothers are looking for a way. Now, these dwarves are not drawn in ways that I typically see dwarves drawn. They look more like humans than dwarves, but they're looking for a weapon, and I believe the weapon must be on the troll side of the line. So they've gone looking for it to defend their dwarven brothers from incursions by the trolls. So they have to go in the left eye of Woden's mountain to find the passage. They get in there, light some torches, and they're looking around, and they find the chest, the magical chest, because it has, they know it's the chest because it has magic words written on it, and the words say, property of G-World Strider, keep your greedy paws off. They open it up and look inside, and there's a gun, 2, 4, 6, 8, with 8 barrels on it in a rotating fashion. And that is the great weapon. So one of the brothers, can't discern which one it is. Thorgrim and Sigurd. Yeah, they never use their names at each other, so I don't know which is which. I don't think. Yes. Now here we go. So Thorgrim is the one that pillages the chest, and so he gets the privilege of carrying the mighty weapon. They're ambushed by trolls who look rather human-y and don't look very trolly at all. It's very, very difficult to tell these two dwarves apart from the trolls that are waylaying them. But nonetheless, that is what happens. In the ensuing fight, Thorgrim has the great weapon knocked loose from his grasp, and the weapon falls to the cave floor, setting it off, discharging it like a gun that is cocked and dropped to the floor would discharge. And so now it starts discharging, and it's probably going to discharge all 8 because it has 8 barrels. So Sigurd is the first one to die. Sigurd lives. Thorgrim lives. Sigurd gets killed at the end. Sigurd is the last one to get blasted. All of these others, see, I told you, it's hard to tell the dwarves from the trolls. These 1, 2, 3, 4 panels are of trolls getting the poop blasted out of them. Each shot hits them center mass and just explodes through the body. So whatever this thing is firing is highly explosive. And they're going down, falling, until finally Thorgrim yells at Sigurd for Sigurd to run and hide, to take cover. But before he can do that, the last of the projectiles discharges and kills him. So now only Thorgrim survives. He decides that this weapon is too dangerous for anybody to use, so he buries it. As he leaves, he says out loud, "Our world is a better place without such weapons." I wonder what they're talking about there. But, so there we go. Inside back cover is a thank you of, 20, 30, 35 different names here that are named as a thank you for putting out the first 6 issues of Elflord. And then on the back is a sequential art advert for the upcoming full-color Volume 2 of Elflord. Starring Hawk and Windblade in color. And again, if this is what the inside of, which I have, I'll be talking about, but it'll be a couple weeks. The second volume looks like, this is nice to look at. I like this. these ears of these elves are very reminiscent of what I see in the early 90s from Drew Hayes and his iLucifer / Poison Elves characters. So I guess this probably, this came way first, almost, what, 5 years, 6 years, 5 years before that? So I guess Drew Hayes must be familiar with Barry Blair's elves, particularly these in Elf Lord, and patterns his iLucifer Poison Elves after them with the pointy shape of the ears and everything. Although these don't have earrings like Poison Elves will, but I've noticed realized the difference before. I just hadn't spoken on it, but I thought I would just to kind of fill out the episode a little bit since we were only at about 15 minutes. So interesting connection there between the two. Unfortunately, we'll never know because both Barry and Drew Hayes are way dead. So we don't have the chance to talk to either one of them. So that is penultimate. We are finishing up the season. Looks like we only have one Pacific episode left and one more to finish up the season of the X-Mutants coverage as they transition to Pied Piper comics left. And then it will be Christmas time and what have you, and time for season 5, which I absolutely have no idea what I'm going to be talking about for, or season 4 of the show. But either way, I will talk to you guys then. Leave me some feedback, get in touch, tweet me, what have you. Talk to you guys later. Ciao.